All right, everybody, welcome to the Multiverse of Marvel podcast, where each week our resident Marvel guys, Aaron and Dan Gridley, will dive into the crazy corner of the ever-expanding Marvel multiverse. And this week, this episode at the very least, we'll be talking about Echo, because the show just came out, so it might be on some people's radar. And I, as Aaron was just saying, that he's not too familiar with Echo, and actually neither am I, so I only really know Echo from the show. Like, because she was like in Hawkeye and now her own show.
Oh, I know her from the comics. I just don't have any of those comics.
Oh, you just don't have question. Any. Oh, okay. So,
okay. I think we've got like some new Avengers stuff, but don't have like any of the like original Daredevil stuff that she shows up in.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure in your collection, the new Avengers issues we had with her, like the whole Ronin debacle, shenanigans, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, every Daredevil run that she's in is a gap in my collection.
That's always so fun.
Yeah, she's not a big presence in the comics, actually.
Oh no.
No.
So she like shows up as like a Daredevil character first initially?
Yeah, supporting character. Yeah. Just like the Marvel Universe has a vast history of supporting characters brought in just to fulfill a certain role in a story and being massive hits with the fans and getting their own series. Like, this is how Moon Knight got to be so popular. This is how Howard the Duck got to be so popular. You know, it's a wonderful tradition they have. But Echo is one of the few I can think of where, yeah, she's definitely got her popularity in the comics, but I don't think she's ever had any kind of solo run. Like, no miniseries, no one-shots, no ongoings.
Yeah, I'd have to look that one up. I'm not 100% sure about that
one. Could be wrong. I mean, Marvel Chronology Project only goes up so far.
Yeah. So just to give you some context, Adam, about when she's introduced, you know about Kevin Smith's Daredevil run, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's introduced in, like, this. I think the story arc right after that.
Yeah, it was David Mack and Joe Quesada. So, yeah, pretty much immediately following Kevin Smith's... I don't know if you could call Smith's run.
It was only like one story arc, really. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not really a revitalization, but it definitely garnered more interest in the character Daredevil again. Like, you know, Kevin Smith had a bunch of hot movies at the time. I mean, he still has the same reputation as being one of those writers who, you know, think what you will about him, say what you will about him. He genuinely cares about every project he gets involved in. If he doesn't care about it, he doesn't get involved. So, yeah, everybody was interested. Like, okay, this guy knows comics. What's he going to do with Daredevil? So, yeah, big attention. And then, luckily enough, once he dropped off, every creative crew that follows seems to be just rock solid, providing excellent storytelling. And, I mean, David Mack and Joe Quesada, you know, no question there. Excellent work. But Echo just was one of the characters that they dropped in just before the turn of the millennium. She is pretty sure she's just deaf in the comics. That's like there's nothing beyond that. I don't think she's missing any limbs or anything.
No, they just put that in because the actress playing her happens to be missing her leg too. And, you know, you might as well incorporate it as opposed to try to ignore it, right?
Yeah, well, I think we'll get to that a little bit when we get to talking about the show.
Yeah.
But, she's just basically another martial arts ninja-type character. I mean, you know, Elektra has so much baggage tied up with her that if you're going to use her in a Daredevil story, there's very limited roles that she can fulfill in relation to Daredevil. Like, sure, she can do a bunch of her own stuff on her own, but you know, if she's in Daredevil, she's always the college girlfriend, the lost love of Matt's life, and the one who tends to scare people that try to laugh at Wolverine. But yeah, Echo, you know, she was just one of these characters, you know, introduced, and I guess was a hit.
I think it was also one of those things where Bendis became a really, well, she was created by Bendis. So, or as we're going to jump to the Ronan part of it, right? So when they changed her to that, I think Bendis really fell in love with her.
I don't see Bendis listed as a creator, but for did Echo, have
for oh, Ronan when for, became oh, Ronan, yeah, he created yeah, that Ronan, part. That... Like I said, I think when that happened, he really fell in love with her because he really pushed her for a while. And then basically, when he stopped writing, I think more or less, I think he may have done one another Avengers run. She kind of fell off, and that was that, right? Like I think she kind of disappeared around like the new Avengers when they switched at Civil War, and after that, she was done for a while, right?
I'm pretty sure she fits into that same demographic as the Hood and the Sentry, where, you know, editorially they came to a realization like, hey, you know, we don't have to keep going back to the well for all these classic established characters that have been around for decades. We're still making great characters with lots of potential. Mm-hmm. Why don't we start focusing on more of these, you know, lesser but more modernly relevant characters? And frankly, from what I've seen of the other characters, yeah, I'm sure, you know, if I had the ability in my own collection to compare Echo's first appearances to her new Avengers usages, I'm sure I would have looked at it the same way as like the Sentry and the Hood, where like, oh wow, this makes sense. The mm-hmm. I could see these characters being pushed in these directions.
But though I do gotta say, I can remember when it came out who Ronan really was. People were kind of disappointed it was Echo.
I don't remember really caring because, I mean, it's comics. It's
well,
really,
I didn't either, but I remember
really
the fans,
hard.
You know, it was Hawkeye. There was a few other ideas who it was, and then it turns out that it's Echo, and it's like, Joe, so it's a woman wearing enough padding to make her look like a man.
Yeah, I mean...
That part was kind of just like, come on, guys, really? It's just...
I mean, there's lots of characters you'd be able to fool like that in the Marvel universe, but then there's a few others that are just too observant. Like Wolverine's not going to fall for a woman dressed as a man or a man dressed as a woman. Iron Fist is probably another one who's going to like just see the way somebody moves and like, you're good, but I can still see that you're hiding who you are. Kind of
same
thing
with Doctor Strange. Whereas on the other hand, we know Spider-Man would be completely shocked by it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But that has more to do with Spider-Man's lack of really exploring what he can do with his abilities and his awarenesses. I mean, we've seen some of those alternate realities where spider sense is, you know, almost infallible.
Exactly.
But yeah, getting back to Echo. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she was initially another one of those kingpin assassin type characters who, you know, eventually gets shown the light and isn't down with being the kingpin's go-to hit person. You know, not everybody can be Bullseye or Typhoid Mary.
Blast. So if she was Ronan, was Hawkeye ever like Ronan, or is that just
after that? So when Ronan appeared, they were doing this whole mystery about who it was. You know, it could be Daredevil because, you know, they'd asked Daredevil to join the Avengers and he said no. And then Daredevil.
They had already established Daredevil as being tied in with the whole disguising as different heroes. So, I mean, like this was after Iron Fist had impersonated him while he was in prison, I think. So.
Not quite, no.
No, that wasn't
that? That happens right around the same time, because that'll happen during Civil War, and Civil War is, I think, when she stopped being Echo, and that's when Hawkeye took over after Civil War, I believe. Because right. I think Hawkeye was Ronan through all that that era where the new Avengers were, you know, like, wanted by the government for not registering.
Yeah, I remember reading that, but I forget a whole lot.
It's been like almost 20, it's been over 15 years, right? Like, you know, we're getting like in a long time since Civil War came out, right?
Yeah, and
it's 2024, and that came out back in like what, 2006?
Was it that late?
Yeah, I think it was about,
about 2006,
that, I think.
2007, yeah.
Because, right. I think about 2000, it had to have at least been 2006 or 2007, because It was after the point where the X-Men had Reload happened, because all the X-Men they appeared in it were back to wearing like the actual costumes instead of, you know, the like, yeah, the black costumes with the yellow X's on them, or the black, I guess the
The movie costumes.
yeah, or the first responder uniforms people like calling them sometimes.
That's a little
No,
more
so,
tasteful than movie uniforms. I'll grant that.
July 2006 to January 2007.
There we go. See, I thought I had it. She's still been used kind of recently. They actually had a really big story in the Avengers comics where she ended up getting the power of the Phoenix Force, and that seems to be what she has right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's this whole big tournament or fighting for all these heroes to get the Phoenix Force, and she was the one who got it in the end. And then I think she kind of beat the crap out of Namor with it.
Didn't
Doesn't
anymore.
the way they've been using the Phoenix in recent while kind of cheapen the whole Phoenix concept?
Yeah, I mean, at least you know, on one hand, on the other hand, with what they're doing right now in Fall of X with the White Hot Room and all that, I'm perfectly fine with all that because, you know, I believe it's Kieran Gillen writing, you know, properly, but I won't get into that right now.
No, we'll grant that Phoenix is being treated better by writers than by editors.
Yes.
Let's leave it at that.
But anyway, getting to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, though, I actually just finished watching the show yesterday. I really enjoyed it.
I haven't had a chance to check it out yet. I've been distracted by other things I found at the Comic Con.
No, like in Hawkeye, she was fantastic. Like, she's really good. I understand why she ended up getting her own, you know, as an actress, she did such a good job in Hawkeye that she kind of did deserve a little bit more of a spotlight than to just be a character that appears every once in a while, you know?
That was my
And
perspective, having not watched it yet, but seeing it is that this is clearly being done on the strengths of the actress.
yeah.
The character itself doesn't warrant this kind of treatment.
I don't think she has that kind of level of popularity as a comic book
No,
character, but
not in the
he was
least.
fantastic. And on top of that, you have Vincent D'Onofrio, who's just been amazing in everything he
Oh
is, and is
yeah,
like
he's
the
just
perfect
fucking
kingpin.
great,
And on
greatest
top of that, you
kingpin.
got Graham Greene, and you put Graham Greene in anything, and I mean, come on.
Okay, I didn't know Graham Greene was in it.
Oh yeah,
That's
he's in it.
going
Yeah,
to be a treat.
and again, you hear his name, and it's one of those things where you're like, okay, you know, I'm gonna enjoy this, right?
Yeah, I think he like was on basically every episode, I think, too, right? I
Yep,
think.
but I'm
All
pretty
right.
sure he appears in every episode.
Yeah, he's the guy running like whether it was like a convenience store or of sorts or something.
Some pawn shop or something. He was kind of like a grandfather, not her grandfather, but like a grandfather type character. And then they also changed Maya in this from in the comics, she's part Cheyenne, not Choctaw, but I think it's a great idea that they did change it because, you know, they actually got a lot of authenticity in there. They got a lot of actual, you know, people from Choctaw tribe involved. So we
There's
didn't get
already
a
a
Star
couple of
Trek
other
Voyager. You know, that's the
Cheyenne
big thing.
characters. I,
Yeah, exactly. They can do the Cheyenne thing. And again, like
yeah,
having a
they
lot of the
don't
people
need
there.
to. There's so many Native American tribes that they don't need to stay focused on these few that were more n historically known
Yeah.
compared to a lot of the other smaller tribes.
And like I said, the other big thing too is this definitely isn't like again a Star Trek Voyager where, you know, they got everything wrong because, well, they just didn't really try hard enough. You're aware of that, right, Adam? The Star Trek Voyager, they had the Native American commander and they hired this Native American expert who had already been proven to be a fraud.
Oh, not just
Despite the
that,
fact
they're
that they didn't really look into it enough to know that he was, and I mean, it's something that's all well aware nowadays. But yeah, like he fed them whatever he felt like, really.
Where I guess it was for like Chakotay's stuff, I
Yep,
assume.
exactly. Yep.
You know what else the actor who plays Chakotay was known for before Voyager? He was the titular Eating Raoul. You ever
Sorry.
seen that Paul Bartel and Mary Warrenoff film?
I
Cult
have
classic
not.
comedy, but yeah, Robert Beltran was the titular character in it.
And
And
so, what was it called again? Sorry,
Eating Raoul. Yeah.
that does not sound familiar.
You're not familiar with that one?
Yeah,
No.
I don't even.
Okay.
I've heard of that one either.
I know I told you about it when I got it, Dan, just because, you know,
Probably, but you know,
who's in it.
yeah.
My coworker Erin says it's one of her classics from her teenage years, and I have to say, yeah, when you hear the comical bonk of the frying pan when it connects to various victims' heads, yeah, it's one that'll stick with you.
All right, check that
But
out.
yeah,
Maybe
his
too.
biggest claim to fame was that being like a character, like
Not.
he's character actor status. He, it's a fun role, but he, it's I wouldn't have necessarily called it Star Trek good casting wise. I would much rather have seen Paul Bartel or Mary Warrenov show up on Star Trek.
I'm just actually going through Voyager now. I'm like on season six, so I'm
It's
like almost done.
the big Trekkie here. It's my least favorite Star Trek show.
Yeah, Pat, my roommate's been watching through randoms of different series, and the more of the Jeffrey Combs era of Star Trek Enterprise, the more entertaining that series
Oh, I
does.
know. I
Yeah,
so wish
he's
season
great in
five that
Australia.
happened because he would have been a regular cast member on the Bridge of the Enterprise, but never happened.
What could have been?
Yep, what could have been?
He's great as Fran. I love
Well, Jeffrey
him.
Combs just great as everything. I mean, if we're tying it back
The
to comics, his question has got to be like the definitive version.
Oh, it has to be. It has to be. And he's one of those actors where I just wish they'd show up in the MCU at some point.
And I just I always like that one episode of Deep Space Nine where there's like a Ferengi episode and he's like three or four characters
Oh
like on
yeah, where he
screen at
shows up
once.
as like as almost like three different characters in it. Yeah, because he shows up as Wei Yu and he shows up as Brent, and I'm pretty sure he shows up as somebody else. Oh, he's such a good Star Trek actor. Such a good actor in general. Yeah, we're
He's the
getting way off
best.
the point of Marvel
Oh
and
yeah. Yeah, this has been a little bit of a rambly one, but that's not a huge surprise.
So another thing after watching it though, I heard one of the complaints about it was that it was too much of a prequel to this new Daredevil Born Again, but I really didn't feel that at all. Like
How
it
can we call it a prequel when we don't really know what Daredevil Born Again is going to be, cinematically speaking?
Just yeah, it has to do with Kingpin, but nothing about how it happens in it really overly sets up what's coming next with Kingpin. And what at the end there's a little teaser that Kingpin, wants to call in all the families and everything, but there's no reason that this show could have made that happen. It could have happened for any reason, right? Instead of it having to be this show. But
So you're
again,
saying that whatever the next thing Daredevil wise is, you can go into it blind and still enjoy it?
oh yeah, because I mean, especially with this
Yeah.
one, although this one, like again, the Daredevil appearance in it was just brief but awesome.
Well,
But
I saw Captain Marvel without having seen the Ms. Marvel stuff previously, and
yeah, and again, you don't really
that
miss
still
out on
held
too
up.
much. Although I do got to say though, if you enjoyed like Miss Marvel and her family, and it definitely watch the show because I really enjoyed the show.
I'm
Yeah,
not
I'll
opposed to
still need to
watching it.
finish the
I'm
show.
just always terrible at finding time to watch TV shows.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
hear you. It's like me and movies nowadays. I basically have to go to your place if I want to watch something for the most part.
Supposed to find time to watch Lost Boys, but
I
whatever.
know. We will. We
We'll
just got
get
back from seeing
around to that.
Wonka.
Oh.
Oh yeah. How was it?
It was. I liked it better. I liked it. I liked it much better than the Tim Burton version. But no, it was really good. Like it was like it. For a prequel, it felt like a proper prequel. And Timothée Chalamet was really good in it. I enjoyed it.
It had to have been better than Oz the Great and Powerful.
Yeah, probably. I don't even know if I watched that one, but I remember you telling it to me. Wasn't that one just basically Evil Dead, except,
No,
with
it's
like
Army of Darkness.
Army of Dead,
It
Army of
is
Darkness, but
beat
with,
for beat, start to finish, it is Army of Darkness. There is no way you can get around it.
I still need to make out to see Godzilla Minus One.
I've been
Yeah,
hearing
I
good
want to see
stuff
that
about
one.
those.
That one looks pretty good.
So I'm working 7 to 3 all this week, so hopefully I can
If
speak.
we're having a little segue here into movies, I got some interesting items at the last Peterborough Comic Con that one of which might be worth having a separate episode about. It's not Marvel, but you'll understand. So one of the booths that was there had a whole bunch of movie memorabilia. Cool stuff, but nothing I felt necessary to spend money on. But on my way out, he happened to have moved a few milk crates up onto his table that were full of movie scripts. And I start scanning through, and there's some cool stuff in there. But when I notice that one of the scripts is Roger Rabbit, and right next to it is Roger Rabbit 2, I start thinking there might be some serious treasures in here. I cherry-picked 8 scripts out of it. 4 are classic movies, and the other 4 are unproduced films. So the classics were Highlander, RoboCop, John Carpenter's The Thing, and a really nice edition of Buckaroo Banzai. All classics. The unproduced ones were right now I'm reading Hellraiser 3, one of the Phil Pull or So Philip Nutman, I think, was the one who did that script. Sitting over here. Peter Atkins, sorry. It was the Peter Atkins draft from 1989. Different so far. Really good. I've still got... I read Lost Boys 2. Might be the Lost Girls script. I'm not sure. Not bad. Not bad at all. Cool one was Creature from the Black Lagoon. John Carpenter was supposed to remake it in the early 90s. Commissioned a script, but it never got greenlit. Found that script, just read it. Was really good. But the first one I had to read, get it off the pile right away, passed it to Daniel. Watchmen.
Right in front of me right now.
I was just going to say, it's probably right there in front of him. Watchmen, yep. By Sam Hamm. The unproduced Terry Gilliam version, the first draft before Terry Gilliam had it rewritten to his sensibilities. I gotta say, it's better than the movie that we got. I think Terry Gilliam is as great a filmmaker as he is when it comes to Watchmen. I think he was a little too much of a perfectionist. He was absolutely right. You know, to do it proper justice would require a miniseries. But for condensing it to a film, I really don't think it could have been done any better than that Sam Hamm script. The opening scene is a successful terrorist attack, which spurs on the banning of all superheroics. You know, gets right to the point, doesn't dwell in any of the longstanding politics of superheroics in general. Jumps ahead to the whole superhero conspiracy. Doesn't do the traditional ending of the comic book, of course, but the time paradox ending they come up with, I found to be way more satisfying than the Zack Snyder blame it all on Dr. Manhattan conclusion that we got. I do think that once Daniel's had a chance to read it, and if we can get it to you so that you can have a chance to read it, it might be worth a solid discussion.
Yeah, I'll just let you guys know like next time I'm around town and see if I can grab it.
Yeah, no, it was something.
Or if I can find something online or something. But yeah.
Honestly, it's probably fairly easy to find online.
Yeah,
But yeah, that was just a brief little segue into some comic book what if history in there. I mean, the idea of Terry Gilliam having done a Watchmen movie for like 1990 and 1991, you know, what would that have done to comic book cinema? You know, could we have had like a proper MCU like, you know, 10, 20 years earlier if it was successful? Who knows?
Yeah, probably not, but I mean, it would be nice to hope.
Yeah,
well, if they could have dovetailed the success of 1989's Batman with another proper mature superhero take like Watchmen, and you know, if it was even half as successful as Batman was. I mean, Adam, you got a couple of years on us. You probably remember better than we do just what a juggernaut success that movie was that summer.
Oh man, yeah, I was just mentioned to somebody else like recently, like how big it was in the summer, and then how much a bigger deal it was like around Christmas when it hit like the home video market. The VHS for that movie around Christmas was a fucking huge deal.
I remember all the ads and marketing.
Yeah, I remember the toys being a big deal.
Everything about that was just a phenomenon. So
yeah, I just remember more the toys for Batman Returns. Yeah, but I just remember
I remember the juggernaut for that too, and the toys for that as well. But yeah, I mean, I was only like 4 when the first Batman movie came out.
But yeah, imagine if that success was followed by Warner Brothers also having success with Watchmen. I think that would have spurred on a bit more serious attempts at good comic book movies than what we actually did get throughout the 90s.
I agree with you in theory, except you know what we would have gotten from Marvel? Spider-Man movie. Spider-Man movie.
That one did have some questionable elements to it, didn't it?
Exactly.
Hopefully somebody would have smartened up James Cameron about like, hey, man, come on, this... we're gonna have little kids watching this. Ninja Turtles, man, we can't go too crazy.
A couple years earlier,
that would have been like, I think that may have derailed the Marvel stuff a little bit.
James Cameron Spider-Man, is another one of those beautiful what ifs, but unlike
he should have stuck with the X-Men. That was what they brought him in for in the first place. And he was like, no, I want to do Spider-Man. And they gave them all these ridiculous ideas.
Or
like Entourage, have him do Aquaman.
Yeah.
Oh.
we just saw the trailer for Aquaman 2 with the before Wonka there. And yeah, it does not look good.
I have absolutely no interest. Actually like Jason Momoa. I just have zero interest in that particular DC.
It was okay. Yeah, I saw it last week, the week before on a Thursday at like the 11:35 show.
Plot driven by the same amount of explosions as the first movie, or is it explosions going from scene to scene to scene?
Yeah, it was probably about on par with the first one for explosions. So
yeah,
and then too, like I had to say how good it was. Like I was the only one in the theater as well. But
it's hard to have like
where we are here in Peterborough, being the only one in the theater is fairly a common thing. But you're still in the Greater Toronto area, yes?
But it was like 11:35, so that might have something to do with it. But
11:35 usually I'm still out at that point.
You live still, where there's actually culture.
I was still expecting like two or three other people. So like for the first like 10 minutes, I was expecting someone else to show up, but it was just me for the entire one. Yeah. And then I think the movie before that was actually in Peterborough. That was in the theater by myself. It was like some Hugh Jackman movie, on Monday at like 4 o'clock.
Some rom-com?
Yeah, no, not the rom-com. It was the Hugh Jackman and the lady who plays like Isla Faust in the last couple Mission Impossibles. It was like that movie. And they're like in like Miami, and it's like a detective-y type movie. I can't remember.
I don't even think I heard of that one.
None of those frames of references resonate with me.
Yeah, it was like 2 years ago, I think. Like not this summer, but last summer, I think, or something like that.
Sounds like it was about as memorable as seeing the Expendables movies.
Yeah. Well, I know when it comes to Hugh Jackman, I'm just excited for Deadpool 3.
Hell, yeah, our mother is kind of excited for Deadpool 3.
Well, yeah.
I mean, there's an honest to God chance we could get a musical number with Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman.
Oh, I could see it.
I could definitely see Reynolds trying to.
I mean,
push
for the only expectations I have for this movie is that every scene is just going to be a giant playground for those two actors.
They've already kind of got leaked that Deadpool 3 is getting a Marvel Legends wave. So, you know, let's
Big
hopefully
shock.
Maybe find out a few more characters around that point when they start leaking something about it.
Think the fans will actually get Daphne Keen as X-23?
I think it's possible. I mean, I'm not going to be one of those, you know, people that's like already jumping on every single theory. But I mean, you know, I mean, why not, right? I mean,
it'd be nice to see her back. She was awesome
exactly.
as a kid. How much better is she now that she's an adult? Like
exactly. Yeah. And I mean, now, you know, I think it'd be pretty cool to see her in like, you know, an actual proper Wolverine costume too, right?
Yeah, like knowing the progression of the character in the comics. Yeah, I want to see the mature, confident X-23 who like knows who she is and what she can do.
And I like the fact that, you know, Patrick Stewart has been pretty open and said that there has been discussions of him being in it too.
You know, he's always down to have fun.
Yeah. And I mean, if he's in it, hey, we can always hope McKellen. Always hope McKellen.
Yeah. We'll have much to talk about when it comes to that movie, I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure when the first trailer comes out, we'll have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, because that comes out in like July, I think, right?
I think. I can't remember if it got pushed back or not. But I mean, it's one of those ones where I'm kind of amazed there isn't even a teaser yet, you know? But then again, we can probably thank the strike for that.
Well, the strike, yeah. But I mean, this is Deadpool 3. They know that. All they just have to listen to Ryan Reynolds when it comes to dishing out the marketing, like all these fakes set shots. Like the second they had the first one leaked, and he's like, "All right, let's just go crazy with this." Like, that's the absolute best response that a filmmaker could have given. Like, all right, you want to be leaking everything? Here, now you have no idea what's true and what's not.
And him accepting the award the other week while wearing the Deadpool mask was pretty good too.
Yeah, like they don't have to give us teasers. I mean, just their antics along the way are promotional material enough.
Now, if they were really smart, they do a Saturday Night Live that was hosted by Hugh Jackman and Deadpool. And just Ryan Reynolds wears the mask for the entire episode. He just doesn't take it off. Doesn't matter what the sketch is. He just doesn't take the mask off.
That would be something. That would
definitely. That would be something. It'll never happen, but that would be something.
Yeah, I'd probably watch that Saturday Night Live.
Oh, I would. It's kind of amazing that they haven't kind of jumped on something like that yet, because, you know, that would get a lot of ratings.
Yeah, but I seem to recall Lorne Michaels playing around with comic book ideas on Saturday Night Live before, and it being kind of hit and miss.
Yeah, yeah. The Superman's funeral wasn't too bad, but that was mostly because Chris Farley just nailed the Hulk.
Yeah, I mean, it's like so much of Saturday Night Live, it's the strength of the players.
But again, the point would be, it's not that anything superhero would be happening. It's just every regular sketch would just have Ryan Reynolds wearing Deadpool's mask. There's just nothing different. It could be just Ryan Reynolds hosting the episode. He just doesn't take the mask off.
There'd have to be something, some sort of Golden Girls sketch. You know it.
Oh, of course. There would have to be. If Betty White was still alive, you know they could get her involved too. But, you know.
Yeah, no, I could see it.
So I imagine we should probably get back on topic with Echo, but
I've been looking through what's here for Echo, like checking out her Marvel Chronology Project entry. Yeah, it's a few issues of Daredevil.
That's one thing I can say about the show, not even about the shows, but the character in the MCU, that only thing that bugs me so far. They haven't done the handprint on the face thing. That's, you know, like kind of her.
The easiest thing to do.
Exactly. And the thing is, it doesn't tie into any sort of her background or anything like that. It just has to do with her dad died. He happened to touch her face and left that paint mark on there. And they haven't even tried.
That's disappointing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, again,
Punisher disappointing.
Yep. And again, you look at her costume, and like they go for like the right ideas of the costume, the right sort of like, you know, stuff on it, but they never went for that, you know, paint mark on the face.
Oh.
That's the only thing that's, you know, everything else has been perfectly fine. It's just that's just like why would you go for the one easy iconic thing, right? Then I think it'd be pretty cool having also the posters where they could, you know, do different things to make it, you know, stand out more or whatnot, you know. But you know, that's past.
Glow in the dark poster. Give us some old school 90s variant cover glow in the dark awesomeness.
Now you need a blacklight one. That's what you need, the blacklight
one. Glow in the dark looks awesome under blacklight anyways.
Fair enough. But no, it was mostly hang out with the solo Daredevil stuff. And I think a lot of the things that I haven't actually read the origin stuff, right? I don't know if she knows for sure that Kingpin killed her dad or if, you know, like she finds that out later, but they have go through that same sort of thing they went through in the Hawkeye show where, you know, she eventually does go after Kingpin.
Yeah.
But it was more of a Daredevil being involved as opposed to, you know, Hawkeye.
Yeah, with Hawkeye, they get to do the whole, like, you know, fellow deaf person sort of, you know.
Yep.
I understand you sort of thing. Like.
Yep, and that worked as well, too. It absolutely did.
I just kind of wish that in the MCU, Hawkeye had lost his hearing in a similar sort of noble sacrifices in the comics. Like,
yeah.
Just, you know, repeated trauma, you know.
But at the same time, it works, it, though.
It grounds it in
happens.
Reality. Yeah, no, that's what I was going to say. It grounds it in reality because, yeah, that does happen to people. But when you know how he loses in the comics and just how, like, dramatic and self-sacrificing it is, like...
Yeah.
How did he lose in the comics?
There was a villain who was mind-controlling everybody, and he was using, like, subsonics to do so. So to keep himself from being affected by it, Hawkeye detonated one of his sonic arrows in his mouth. Like, he put the arrowhead in his mouth, set it off, and permanently deafened himself so that he could get into the deal with the situation without having to become victim of the mind control and become just another one of the thralls. But, you know, like, I don't feel like Hawkeye has gotten any significant character moment like that in the series. He's just too damn competent, too good at everything he does.
The other thing too is them giving him a family in the MCU kind of took away a lot of the chances to him to be the Hawkeye that we know from the comics, right?
Well, to me, that just makes something like that kind of a sacrifice that much more powerful. Like,
true.
In the comics, he's got basically nobody. Like, most of his family are also criminal types. So in the movies, when he's got an actual family, like a wife and kids and everything, sacrificing his hearing so that they can stay, free and live their lives. Yeah, that wouldn't just, I feel like, he's already a beloved character in the movies. That would just, give those fans that love him just that more, much more to latch on to. I mean, like the way that Killmonger is seen as such a tragic character, he doesn't deserve it, but Hawkeye definitely does.
Anyway, though, getting back to Echo in the comics. So like I said, after the whole Daredevil stuff, she's used a little bit for there. She's kind of not really touch up again until the new Avengers form. But we don't
Yeah,
know that she's
she's.
there for the first little while because of the whole Ronan mystery and who was Ronan.
Yeah, it looks like it's Daredevil, the second run of Daredevil, 10 through 15, and then 51 through 55. And that's it until she's in New Avengers.
Yep, that's literally it. She shows up a couple times in Daredevils, and then it's New Avengers, and then again we eventually find out that she is Echo, and then we're
Everybody who wasn't reading Daredevil's like, who?
yeah,
I don't know that
basically.
character.
In fact, I seem to remember at the time when that happened, there was a lot of people talking about who Echo was. I mean, even I wasn't familiar with Echo because I hadn't read that run at all.
Yeah.
Although I had heard there was people suggesting as a possibility she could have been Ronan, because again, just people were throwing anything at the wall at the time.
When you go back through those kind of deceptions in the stories, there's always fans who figure it out.
Oh, always.
Like even the one that's in Thunderbolts, one fan figured that one out, and not just as a random guess, like logically figured it out. So, yeah, not surprised that somebody would have, but she was in either Under the Mask or overtly. She was in New Avengers from like 11 and 12, 27 to 34, 36. Yeah, she's scattered there for a fair little bit. Looks like things get broken up once they start hitting some crossover type stuff.
Yeah, that's usually the way it goes around that era for Marvel at that point. But after her identity gets revealed, she starts actually getting to be out there as Echo and featured a little bit more. Although one of the things I did feel was that Bendis kind of kept forgetting she was deaf. You'd see panels where
There's.
someone would say something, and it's like I can suspend my disbelief in that she can read lips, okay? I can completely do that.
I'm
But
pretty sure that's an established ability.
They see certain panels where it's just like there's no way in hell that she could see their lips with what was going on there. That just didn't
Like,
happen. But she replies perfectly.
can she read lips through the Ronin, like through Hawkeye wearing the Ronin mask or Deadpool wearing his mask? I mean, yeah, I don't. I seem to recall there being a few inconsistencies when I was reading as well.
But she's there all through World War Hulk, and
I was
she's
just
there through like
seeing
Secret
World War
Invasion,
Hulk,
and I believe after Secret
Invasion,
Invasion,
Secret
that's kind of
Invasion.
when she leaves the Avengers.
Looks like is yeah, it looks like a run of Moon Knight for a little while before getting
Yeah.
back into Daredevil.
When Heroic Age rolls around right after Secret Invasion, I or yeah, when Secret Invasion was done there, I believe, or no.
Yeah, that's Moon Knight's what's following the Secret Invasion stuff in the list here, and
Yeah.
that a couple of Daredevils,
Well, she did
mostly the stuff
briefly
around
appear
600.
in a new issue of New Avengers when I can even remember reading the issue there where
Volume 2, number 7, I'm seeing here.
Jessica Jones and Luke Cage are looking for nannies for their kid, and it cycles through all these different
Oh,
people it could be, and I think
God,
Echo
that's
was
the
one of them.
one where, yeah, that's the one where they reveal Squirrel Girl and Wolverine, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wolverine slept with a teenager.
Oh, that was
Ugh.
awful.
It's these things they
Awful.
don't ever seem to think through.
Yeah, that's just conveniently forgotten about for the most part. Like I've never seen it referenced in any of the Squirrel Girl stuff that I've read. It's just that one issue, and it's one of those things like that makes Wolverine incredibly pervy, especially considering all the other teenage girls that he's mentored over the years.
It's like a couple hundred years old.
Close. In the comics, I think it's more like 150.
Or 100 and
Well, 100, probably closer to 175 by now.
No, in the comics, he's not quite that old.
No.
He was born in like the 1880s or the 1890s.
Okay.
The movies, he's
Yeah,
quite a bit
he's
older than
definitely
that.
older in the movies.
But in the comics, he was born. I'd have to go back and look specifically because they in Origin you see gravestones that kind of give an idea for how old he is. But I know they got the age wrong. I think in Origin, but in Prelude to Schism, I'm pretty sure they got it right. I don't know. Again, it's been a long time since I read that. It's been a while since I got so many X-Men comics. There's a lot of them. It's been a long time since I flipped through.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Just going through this one box of Daredevil that I've got, just confirming that no, I don't actually have any of the Daredevil issues. There's still so much. And
Yeah,
even
I think
with
the only
like cutting off my collection at Shadowland, still so much.
Yeah, I think the only Daredevil stuff I've read is the Born Again series by the Frank Miller and the Kevin Smith series, really, so
Yeah,
far.
no, both good ones.
Kevin Smith's run was good. The complaints about it had to do more with using an established Spider-Man villain as the big bad. But
But even then,
frankly,
it wasn't so
reading
much
through
using
it, that's
him.
the whole point.
It
That's the
wasn't
whole point.
the using him that upset people. It was the killing him. But the
Well,
other thing that bothered
yeah.
me was like, but in a Spider-Man comic, having one of his villains die, we've had things like that happen before. And
Yeah.
Peter's heart bleeds for them and all this stuff. And he tries to get them to repent and all this stuff. And the same story, just again, it wouldn't exactly have worked the same way under Spider-Man. Like, it
Well,
just.
and also his the villain's motivation of like, I can't ever beat my own villain. I want to go
Exactly.
out beating somebody that I could possibly beat.
And then it just failing miserably.
Well, yeah, because he's taken out a hero. You know, if he tackled another villain, you know, decided to somebody else in Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery, just like, hey, I'm gonna blame you for me always losing, because you always lose too. You know, just be stupid villain stuff. But
Should have gone
yeah.
after Purple Man, you know? He got after Purple Man. That would have worked. That
Oh,
guy's dumb
yeah.
enough and arrogant enough that it probably would have worked.
Actually, yeah, considering like not trying to spoil who it is in the Daredevil run, but yeah, that particular villain against Purple Man would have been interesting, very interesting. Like if the villain in question, like, you know, Batmaned it up and like came in fully prepared, knowing exactly who he's taking on. Yeah.
But then when we get back to where Echo's shown up, yeah, she gets killed off in that Moon Knight run. Don't exactly know how she got back to life.
Does it matter?
Yeah, it's you know, comics, you know.
Comics, yeah.
You know. Happens in a Daredevil annual, I think. I'm not, again, I'm not sure.
Well, considering that it looks like it's Count Nefaria that killed her, I mean, that right there. I mean, how many times has Count Nefaria been killed and come back without explanation?
Yep.
So,
Oh,
yeah.
he's there right now. I think he just showed up in that big gang war going on in Spider-Man right now.
I feel like he's one of those classic villains that's never really going to change.
Yeah, no.
You know, like they, unlike Magneto and Doctor Doom, there's really no reason to give him any sort of redemption. I mean, and it's not like he's an unrepentant Nazi like the Red Skull, you know. He's
Just
just classic, you know.
villain, yeah.
Yeah.
There's just not much else to him. He's just classic villain, you know.
It's just bad guy.
And sometimes they make him out to seem like it's like a big deal, and other times he just seems kind of like a joke.
I love the times when like his daughter's just like, yeah, daddy, I've fallen on hard times. You bail me out.
Yeah,
All right, kiddo, come on.
I think that's kind of, even though she's not falling on hard times in gang war, I still think it's one of those things where her dad just showed, like, she's getting her dad's help. I can't remember. I've been flipping through it. I haven't been reading every single issue, so I could be way off about that, but I seem to think that something about Cat Nefaria is showing up. That's the current or storyline going on right now, though, so it's not even done yet.
No.
But yeah, after her resurrection, I don't really think she shows up too much, except for maybe the recent Avengers stuff, and even then, after that's done now, I don't think she's shown up again.
She helped Captain Marvel against the radioactive man in between her resurrection and the whole Phoenix thing. And that looks like
Goggles
it's
be
about
watching.
it.
And as
Watch
far as
out,
miniseries,
radioactive man.
I did a quick look up. There was a Daredevil and Echo miniseries, and then there was a the Phoenix, but the whole Phoenix story. There was a Echo miniseries there too.
But yeah, you wouldn't think they'd do like a mini series for for when the show came out or anything,
Oh, there will
Nah,
be.
then I mean, yeah.
There, if the show is even passably successful, they will capitalize with an actual comic. Because you got to remember the readership of comics is so far down in the toilets right now that with the kind of recognition that the TV show gives, yeah, they're guaranteed almost to make money off of an Echo miniseries. Like it would sell enough, I'm sure.
Yeah, I could see it
Saying like
happening.
you, yeah, but yeah, I was just saying like, hey, do you think they would have had one like timed for like the same time it dropped though, and so just waiting to see if it was a hit too, but
I think it's more of now they're getting so cautious that it's, yeah, more waiting to see if it's a
yeah,
hit. And like on one hand,
exactly.
I was hearing complaints about it getting one of like the lowest like Metacritic ratings, and seeing it's like the Metacritic rating was still in the high mid to high 70s, and it's like, okay, well, what's the complaint there?
It's
And then
all
every
somebody else's spin.
and then you're on Facebook and on the Facebook groups, you hear everyone's comments, and like everyone's saying that they liked it. Like no one really complaining about it or anything. And then the ones that are complaining about it are the kind of, the dumb assholes that are complaining about it for the wrong reasons,
This is generally what we see, like these sort
Exactly.
of things that, people get up in arms about, like how bad they are. Like, on my roommate's feeds, I keep seeing like the same few reviewers popping up with like, oh, this is another failure. This was horrible. This is why Marvel's going down into the dumps. Like, and then you see the comments from people, just regular people who enjoy the stuff, the real consumers. Everybody's fine with it.
Yep.
If Enjoy it for what it is. Not all of us are going to go crazy for it one way or the other.
It's like when She-Hulk came out, people complaining all about She-Hulk, and those of us who read the comics are like, this is pretty
Do you not
accurate to
know who
what we're
She-Hulk
supposed to be
is?
getting. Like that this seems a lot like a She-Hulk comic to me,
Have you never heard the name John Byrne?
And after John Byrne finished, you have a pretty good couple of pretty good follow-ups with, Dan Slott and Peter David and guys like that.
Yeah. Now th this is the same She-Hulk who has jump roped topless or completely naked, I forget. The same one whose clothes never tear inappropriately because they're approved by the Comics Code of Authority. Come on. Of course we're gonna get crap like her twerking with her favorite hip hop artist. Like, I don't see
I
why that's
enjoyed.
something to get angry about.
Again, you hear people complaining about the MCU is dying and done and stuff like that. It's like, you know what? We're still getting these fun, enjoyable projects. And let's be honest, as soon as they actually like get into the X-Men, it's going to revive it again.
We'll see. Yeah, I have to admit, for my comic reading sensibilities, I'm not entirely satisfied. Like, Doctor Strange's have been good, and Werewolf by Night opened the door to some potential, but then you follow it up by just re-releasing it in
Yeah, like
color.
what that's a big special thing. Oh,
Like,
we're gonna release it
come
again
on. Like,
in color.
objectively, it was fun, but it can't have tied up that many resources production-wise.
Yeah.
It wasn't particularly deep in terms of character development.
Yep.
The set, though enjoyable if you know like classic Hammer horror stuff, can't be any more complex than the stuff we've been seeing them do with CG and
Let's
the
be
Star
honest,
Wars
that
stuff.
set was probably like a lot of the VR wall anyway.
Exactly. Like, you can't, use that same tech and give us like a proper Man-Thing story set in the swamp. Like, that would be so wonderfully atmospheric.
But I mean, again, that's what I think when, X-Men rolls around, it's going to start revitalizing stuff because then they're going to focus on the X-Men. And then any of the projects that aren't X-Men are stuff that they're actually going to have to try harder on to, compare to what they're doing with the X-Men stuff.
Well, I do think they'll be able to approach it in a much less piecemeal fashion as far as world building goes compared to what we've already gotten.
Well, remember the one thing that we have going into this that's going to put it at an advantage over a copy of the old X-Men movies is that when X-Men 1 was being made, the one person working on those movies that kept fighting for things to be like what they were in the comic books was Lauren Schueller-Dennard's assistant, who was Kevin Feige. He's the one who said, like Wolverine's hair should be like Wolverine's hair, and no, Wolverine should be Canadian and things like that. Like he kept saying these little things that when it came down to the movie being out, the stuff that was kind of authentic to the comic books, a lot of him apparently fighting for it. I mean, again, this is what I've heard.
Oh, I see that.
So it would make sense that when we get into, I just had this feeling that going into the X-Men movies that he's just had plans for a while. Like he's had a long time to think this through about what he'd do and how he'd do it,
I agree with you in that for sure. Beyond that, though, like the fact that they now have X-Men in-house, they
Exactly.
have deals in place for using Spider-Man.
Yep.
They've test run all these other characters that they do have. they're in a position to finally put everything together in a proper tapestry and not just feel their way through. Like, you know, before Iron Man came out, he was not their top A-list character.
And that movie came out because, again, like, Feige looked at the
He's
list of
who
what they
they had
had.
left.
They had the Avengers, and they figured that they could make Iron Man work.
And all it ever
Right.
took was the proper casting, and as soon
The
as they
proper
had Robert
director,
Downey
too.
Jr.,
Yep.
well, true in that.
They knew, as soon as they had Favreau and Robert Downey Jr. lined up, they had something right.
Something that was going to be, you know, genre defying, which it absolutely was.
And then we got the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Hits and misses.
But considering the way comic book movies were before when we were growing up,
I am the law.
I think we're doing much better nowadays, you know?
A lot of that 90s stuff is still enjoyable, but you know, for a good chunk of it, like, you know, you have to actually be the fan to see the quality shining through. Like, you know, watching Judge Dredd,
Taken seriously, yeah.
there's so much beauty in that, but if you don't know the comics, it's just kind of all lost in the cheesiness of the writing and the acting.
Hey, people who really, really, really love He-Man or know the origins are okay with the movie.
I've always preferred the movie to the cartoon, and I
I liked
loved
it.
the cartoon as a kid, but the movie just had so, to me as a kid, the movie was just so much more magical.
Yeah, but anyone who was old enough to play with the original toy line and read the comic books would have like looked at the movie and be like, "Oh yeah, I see it. I get it."
I never questioned that there was no Prince Adam in it.
Yeah, I didn't really see why they needed Prince Adam to show up in it at any point, you know?
My questions all had to do with like, okay, so where's our second one? I want She-Ra. Let's see
We
some
got
action with
Cyborg.
He-Man and his twin sister. And yeah, we got Cyborg. You know, I still have not rewatched that since learning everything about what goes into making it. Like all the Masters of the Universe, all the Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah. Oh, late 80s, early
So
90s comic book movies.
yeah, there really doesn't seem to be a whole lot left to really touch up
Yeah,
on
I mean, it's the problem with Echo is,
Echo.
again, it's why I go back to the whole thing where I don't really understand, you know, from a comic book perspective, I don't really feel like this character is warranted having their own like, TV series
No,
because,
again, it's the strength of the actress.
yeah, it's what it comes down to, the strength of the actress. Because, again, you look at her comic resume and she's not really there a lot. And there's other characters that
No.
have had so many more comics and even had their own miniseries who haven't even appeared in anything like live action, you know?
And we'll address the elephant in the room. Representation is one of the big things in media right now, finding the right representation. And the fact that not only did they find an actress who is deaf, but hey, this actress also happens to be missing a leg too.
And
And
again, incorporating that into the character and again, making it work. It just, there was no issue there whatsoever. And, you know, at no point you see an action sequence where, you know, you're thinking, oh, that's not possible. Because, you know, again, if you watch the behind the scenes stuff, she's like, okay, and she can fight. Like, this
Yeah,
is stuff that she
and at
does.
that and it's not just that,
Left.
there's real world precedent for it too.
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
how long did Kerry Von Erich wrestle with only one foot?
Yep. They kept it secret. And kept it
And that,
secret.
like, not like
and that
kayfabe
fight in the
secret,
first
like
episode
actual
with Daredevil
secret,
was
like
pretty
his
good. Yeah, that
closest
fight in the
people
first
didn't
episode of
know.
Daredevil was pretty good. Yeah, that fight, like I thought it was pretty cool to see it. And again, I thought all the fight sequences in it were actually really well done. Like, you know, sometimes you watch a fight sequence and something, and they have that thing where it feels like the thugs are kind of waiting to take their turns. I didn't feel as much as this one. I felt the fights
You mean
flowed a
like
lot
Michael
more.
Caine's fight scene in Austin Powers?
Yeah. But I felt, again, it felt like the scenes flowed a lot better and that, you know, the action sequence made a lot more sense. Like, I enjoyed a lot of that. But yeah, that Daredevil scene was pretty cool. This it's getting me hyped for Born Again.
Yeah, I'm definitely down for more Daredevil. Alrighty, so I think that might be everything for that we've got covered for Echo then, I think.
Yep, anything else is just us going to be rambling on again like we've been
All
doing for
right.
most part in this one.
It's been a while since the previous episode. We
Been
were
a
bound to be
while.
sidetracked for
We
a
have a
while.
tendency to sidetrack and get, you know, catch up a little bit after all those. And again, we're talking about a comic character that doesn't have a lot of comic book stuff to talk about. So what else are we gonna do, right?
Know, so many of the other characters that Daniel and I have grown up with have so much legacy to them that, you know, there are highs and lows that we can talk about, you know, definitive runs, terrible decisions that have happened from either writing or editorial ends of things. But with Echo, there's really, She's
not
a
enough to get
competently
into that
handled
yet.
character. There's really not much more to say about it than that. I imagine somebody who's like followed her every step might have a bit more to say in terms of how different writers have handled her, but in terms of like looking at the roster of Marvel characters, she's pretty well defined as who she is and what kind of role she fulfills.
It's kind of amazing that, you look on the other hand, that if, say, if we were to do a Miss Marvel episode, we'd have so many comics to cover, because in the short time she's been around, she's appeared so much and done so much. And since she first started appearing, she hasn't really had a break of not appearing in the comics. Same with like Miles
How
Morales and a few other characters like that. Whereas Echo here.
many Captain Marvel or how many Carol Danvers appearances do we read in X-Men before ever realizing that she had had her own run before all of that?
Oh, yeah. For me, it was.
Several issues read.
Yeah, before again, I was reading it. Remember, we were reading it piecemeal at the time, but I mean,
Yeah.
yeah, when it
But
kind
like
of like
we
really put together that, wait, geez, yeah, that is Miss Marvel.
there's
And
more history to this character. She is more than just a supporting X-Men character who happens to have superpowers? Oh, wow. No, it's the stuff like that that tends to draw people more into the Marvel comics.
then you find out that's for
Binary?
Rogue. Rogue.
Oh, yeah, the Rogue
Oh, yeah,
stuff, yeah.
Rogue, yeah.
Which
Where
I
Rogue
kind of.
gets all of her powers.
I really hope they somehow do that in the MCU here.
That would
Anyway,
be
though, for
nice
the
to see.
next episode, though, like, I think the next thing coming is Deadpool 3. Like, I don't really know what else we have. Maybe X-Men 97. Like, I know that's coming this year, but they haven't given us an official date yet.
I was looking that up. Like,
They're saying
we still don't have
saying
a figure.
spring, like they're the first start of the year, but we still haven't heard anything yet. So, you know.
So hopefully that'll bring in the certainly the next one. But all right, so
And
I think
when we get to X-Men,
that
I can talk about anything, right?
should be a... All right, so maybe we could do a Miss Marvel episode sometime next
Yeah,
though.
we can
But
do that too.
all right, but all right.
Yeah.
Well, thank everybody for joining on this week. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Look us up on Twitter slash X at the Marvel Pod, or on Instagram the at Multiverse of Marvel. And you can listen to the podcast wherever you find podcasts. And you guys are still not anywhere on the internet. You guys don't have Instagram or text or Twitter or anything.
No, it's still just
Nothing.
Facebook. Although my coworkers are really bugging me to get an Instagram at some point. So maybe I might soon. I don't know.
No, it's probably best off to
It
not do
would
that.
go
So,
neglected. You'll only use it on occasions. We all know this.
true.
yeah, so yeah, I barely even use my Instagram, personal and really anywhere. But anyway,
Dan,
so yeah,
make your
so.
daughter your Instagram manager, and then maybe you'll get some use out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But as I said, thanks for listening, everybody, and hopefully we'll have a now that I'm settled where I am, we'll have a more episodes coming out this year. So as I said, we might get a Miss Marvel one coming up sooner, and maybe we'll do the X-Men 97 as well. But thanks for coming out, and thanks for listening, everybody.